You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We get to talk catechesis today. I'm excited about that because we get to learn more about Concordia Catechetical Academy, catch up with them. It's been 2 years since we've talked with them, so I'm looking forward to that. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Nebraska. You can learn more about Concordia University, Nebraska by visiting cune.edu. Joining us today, the Reverend Dr. Peter Bender. He's senior pastor of Peace Lutheran Church and Academy in Sussex, Wisconsin. He also serves as president of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. Pastor Bender, welcome back to the Coffee Hour.
Oh, it's so good to be with you. It has been 2 years, but that's shocking to hear.
Two years has given me time to practice saying Concordia Catechetical Academy.
Nice job. 5 seconds.
You could be a part of it as long as you can say catechetical. So.
Catechetical, which comes from the word catechesis. What is catechesis?
Yeah, that word catechesis and catechetical and catechism and catechumen and catechist, it's all from the same family of words. And at its root core is the concept of echoing, speaking back to God what he has first spoken to us. So the way I like to have everyone think about the concept of catechesis, it's different from education. It involves some components that overlap. But at the heart of catechesis is God's way of teaching that converts the heart to faith in Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and out of which then love for Christ flows. And so that's the first part of the definition for catechesis, God's way of converting the heart to faith in Christ and the life of love for the neighbor. And then there are some concrete ways in which that language of faith is passed on. So how we pray, how we confess, how we receive God's gifts in the divine service, how we live out our lives in our vocation, all of that is part of the task of catechesis. But it rests upon that foundation of catechesis being God's way of converting the heart. So in that sense, you can look at catechesis as evangelism. You can look at catechesis as preaching when you understand that preaching is to convert the heart to faith in Christ. And then out of that flows the service of love to the neighbor in the baptismal life. And what's interesting to note is that definition that I've given you is outlined throughout the entire small catechism of Luther.
Why is this something that you love so much, that you're passionate about? I mean, when we talk to you about catechesis, I mean, you can tell that this is something that is just, it's very enjoyable for you to talk about, and it's very important for you. Why is that?
Well, when I was on my vicarage, I got opportunity to do confirmation classes, as they're often called, and I absolutely hated the material, frankly. And I vowed that has to be done differently. Went back for my fourth year, left the seminary excited to teach. And as strange as it might appear, we were not given a lot of resources to use in youth and adult catechesis at the seminary. So when I got into my first parish in Iowa, so excited to teach, and then you have youth that are like, you know, bumps on a log. Their legs are spread out. They're just kind of sitting there. Their head is hung low. They know nothing about Bible stories, vocabulary. They may be seventh, eighth grade. They wouldn't know the catechism text if it bit them. And there was just such a disinterest. So here again, this cannot stand. And so that's when I began my graduate studies in catechesis that took me to one of the first classes I had. It was an extension class for the Fort Wayne Seminary held in Flathead Lake, Montana. And the Reverend Dr. Kenneth Corby was the instructor. Mm-hmm. And he was quite the character, but he introduced us to all of the primary documents that surround the production of what ultimately became the Small Catechism and then the Large Catechism. Out of that, we had a project to do kind of like a unit in catechesis. I did mine on confession in the office of the keys, and he was so taken by this that he, in his pastor's conference presentations around the country, his extension courses that he taught, as an adjunct professor at both St. Louis and Fort Wayne, he would say, if you want a pastor that has put some meat on the bones of what I'm giving you, you want to talk to Pastor Peter Bender. At that time, I was in Iowa, and then I took a call to Sussex, Wisconsin, where I've been ever since. I'm starting my 35th year here. But I started to get all of these requests. And so out of those requests, you know, so much of it was in my head. It was chicken scratch on paper. I set about the task of putting it in a form where people could digest it. And then I approached the congregation, my elders first, and then parish council back in 1994. To form the Concordia Catechetical Academy, an auxiliary of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin, owned and operated by the congregation for the purpose of promoting Luther's small catechism and faithful Lutheran catechesis in the church at large. And so they embraced that, and they have ever since. Now, we have since become, as you know, a couple of years ago, a recognized service organization of the Synod. But we remain housed at Peace, and Peace enjoys favored founder status in terms of benefits of CCA material and so forth. But we have our annual symposium. Usually it's annual. We didn't have it a couple of years during COVID, but generally speaking, it's annual. It'll focus on an aspect of the catechism. And it really is intended for laity, and it's also intended for homeschoolers, church workers, and pastors to help them in the task of catechesis. We haven't finalized the date for 2026, but it is either going to be the first Thursday and Friday in June, which would be the first and the second, or the second Thursday and Friday. We're just working out details with some of our potential presenters. But that's coming in 2026 on the Lord's Prayer. And then, of course, there's the production of a number of resources, but the key is the Lutheran Catechesis series, which is published in English, and then the major component pieces of that have been also published in Spanish.
You mentioned when you first had your first confirmation class that you weren't pleased with the materials you were using, and it sounded like it was very frustrating for you. What was it that was missing that you wanted to see happen in catechesis that you now want Concordia Catechetical Academy to bring to pastors and parents and others who care about catechesis?
Yeah, that's a great question, Andy, because it wasn't merely the materials. And if you think about the materials that the CCA produces, it would be a mistake to just focus on the text, Lutheran catechesis, or the text, Old Testament catechesis, or New Testament catechesis. What the CCA promotes, and what was the key aspect, I would say it's the single most important aspect of promoting Luther's small catechism and the life of catechesis, is to see catechesis as involving the entire culture of a Lutheran congregation. What was missing in Iowa was the engagement of parents, the involvement of the family altar. We need to begin to do in catechesis the things we want Christians to continue to do for the rest of their life. Dr. Corby shared with us what he did with his congregation. He printed out every week in the bulletin something he called the family catechetical hour. Now, there's a number of problems with the title. Family, good. Catechetical, problematic, especially if you can imagine, you know, 40 years ago, there was not the you know, catechesis, catechumen, catechetical, those were, what are those words even? They're much more prevalent today. And then hour, you know, immediately it sets up that you go like, yeah, got to spend an hour every day in this catechesis, and it's a huge burden. We left that class. My good friend since that time, Dr. John Pless, he was in that class. We sat next to each other, and he was, you know, involved in campus ministry up at University of Minnesota in St. Paul and Minneapolis. And he came up with the title, The Priesthood Prays, picking up on the priesthood of all believers and so forth. And something that Dr. Corby emphasized, priests pray, priests teach, priests offer sacrifices of love. The royal priesthood does those kinds of things. I used that title for a while. And then the title that I came up with 33 years ago, I think it is probably now, is The Congregation at Prayer. And that's talked about in Lutheran Catechesis, the Catechist edition. It gives schedules for it and so forth. But it, very simply, if you can picture a family around the dinner table and you have table grace, then you start passing the food and engaging in conversation. And let's all share the portion of the catechism for the week that we happen to be in. You know what? So in our congregation this week, it's the fifth and sixth commandments. So what is the fifth commandment? You shall not murder. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every physical need. And there may be a Bible story for the day, like there was today, the parable of the Good Samaritan. And you see in the parable of the Good Samaritan what it is to hurt and harm your neighbor in his body. And you also see in that parable what it is to help and support him in every physical need as the Good Samaritan comes to his aid. So you're around the dinner table, you banter around a little bit the catechism for the week, same section, regardless of the ages of the kids. You got six kids in your home and mom and dad, let's just have one part of the catechism for the week. And then maybe we'll have a Bible verse for the week that ties into that. So Jesus' catechesis in Mark chapter 10, from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. And that happens to be our verse for the week. You can see in there both fifth and sixth commandment themes as the sanctity of life that takes place in the context of marriage. That is what creates family and the God's desire to protect marriage. And so the sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery. So that's our verse, which is all the verse for everybody, regardless of the age. And then let's sing a hymn. And so this week it draws to thee, Lord lovingly, hymn 701 from LSB. Simple, yet profound. And in the small catechism, Luther has the daily prayer sections. And I think it's a section that is passed over, or the significance of it is not appreciated. He says, when you get up in the morning, make the sign of the Holy Cross, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, confess the creed, pray the Lord's Prayer, the morning prayer, and then sing a hymn like that of the Ten Commandments, or whatever your devotion may suggest. That rubric, which he puts on with morning prayer, with evening prayer, gives us the understanding that for him, that was just a bare bones template. Invocation, creed, Lord's Prayer, hymn. So the Congregation at Prayer that we produce and that's talked about throughout Lutheran catechesis just simply takes that structure, which he really developed out of the monastic life. And then we may have a psalm of the week. We have the 60-day psalm cycle. We have the specific part of the catechism for the week. We'll have Bible stories. Some of them are catechism stories, like today's was the Good Samaritan. Some of them are continuous reading stories. Some of them are those churchier stories. But the catechism and the daily prayers gives that basic structure. And so I have said repeatedly that and it doesn't have to be the congregation at prayer or something like that, or the priesthood prays, the family catechetical hour, whatever. That is the single most important tool that I have in the entire congregation for establishing a culture of catechesis and prayer. So in that congregation at prayer, there's a section in our prayers this week, and that's where we have all of the sick and the needs of the congregation, those that serve in the armed forces from our congregation, for whom we regularly pray, other needs of the congregation, etc. So going back to what I said a moment ago, we need to continue to do in catechesis the things that we want Christians to continue to do for the rest of their life. I want them to pray. I want them to confess. You know, if I ask parents, what do you want for your children? If they're serious, dedicated Lutheran parents, they'll say, well, I want them to know Christ. I want them to live out their faith in their vocation. I want them to faithfully come to receive God's gifts in the divine service. I want them to learn how to pray and how to confess their faith and, you know, live with love for others in their vocation. That's all what the catechism is about. And a tool like the congregation at prayer or whatever a pastor might do is indispensable for that. And then it governs the entire life of the congregation. And then into that culture, you have classes like Didache, which is our adult class that goes through Lutheran catechesis, the first 24 lessons, so forth. I could go on and on, you understand. So I should let you ask some question.
We actually need to take a quick break. We have plenty more to talk about, questions for probably another 2 hours, but we'll ask you a few after we take a quick break. We're talking with the Reverend Dr. Peter Bender, Senior Pastor of Peace Lutheran Church and Academy and President of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
At Concordia University, Nebraska, discover a distinctly Christian community that equips students to live by faith with courage, character, and conviction. Intentionally combining our Christian faith, Lutheran heritage, rigorous academics, and practical real-life experiences, we prepare students to fulfill a higher purpose in their vocations and life. Learn more about Concordia University, Nebraska at our website, cune.edu. That's cune.edu.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We're talking with the Reverend Peter Bender, Senior Pastor of Peace Lutheran Church and Academy and President of the Concordia Catechetical Academy in Sussex, Wisconsin. Oh, we have so many things we could talk about, but let's talk a little bit more about the work of the CCA, some of the things you've been up to since we talked to you last. You mentioned earlier about getting recognized service organization, RSO status, in the LCMS. What has that been able, or how has that helped you serve congregations better?
Yeah, the RSO status has been very important, and it will continue to be important. As an RSO, that gives us the right to have access to district conventions, to pastors' conferences, to the synodical convention. And so to be able to be represented there with a booth and have the rights and privileges associated with that, that other entities that don't have RSO status might not have. It also has, we have a very intentional desire to partner with both the Office of National Mission in its work and the Office of International Mission. And I serve on the board for National Mission, and I do maybe as much for International Mission as National Mission as a board member. And so the CCA and the work in catechesis has taken me around the globe. I've taught for a couple of weeks intensives at seminaries in Matango, Kenya, in Accra, Ghana, Ghana, and then in Uyo, Nigeria. And those have been extremely rewarding experiences. We've had a couple of brief exchange students from Africa that have come and observed at peace, have attended the symposium, have been introduced to pastoral care. I had one, Joshua Niamaro, he's now an Alliance missionary in Ethiopia, but he came for our symposium and a week of shadowing me where he got to see pastoral ministry in action, and then the importance of catechesis. And he said he learned more in that 1 week than his entire seminary training prior to that. And I don't think that was entirely accurate, but what he was really saying is it all came together for him, that what he learned at seminary, it all came together, seeing the ministry in action, catechetically and in every way in which the pastor brings comfort and counsel to those in need. I mean, he got the privilege of being with me, giving shut-in communion to a couple in assisted living, only to have us called back a few hours later because the wife had a massive stroke. And so we were at her bedside when she fell asleep in Christ, and to see the pastoral care at work there. And this is where catechesis is about pastoral care. You know, I'm not concerned primarily about how much a catechumen, young or old, knows. And if anybody has a stack of the Lutheran catechesis books, they'll realize there's a lot of material there. And you might think that the main thing is quantity of knowledge. It's actually not true. I'm concerned that they know Christ, that they abide in the comfort of his love, that they live from his forgiveness, that they have the certainty of salvation. That's what I care most about. And I think Joshua saw that at play in his time with us.
Speaking of international travel and international work, I understand there's been some work translating as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, this was extremely heartening to me. The Latin American region of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Ted Cray is the regional director, and then the Mercy Center of OIM there in the Dominican Republic, they spearheaded, with the partnership of our partner church in Chile, the translating of Lutheran Catechesis Catechumen Edition, Catechist Edition, and Old Testament and New Testament Catechist Editions. So all into Spanish, they're all complete, and they are available for use in all of our partner churches throughout Latin America. I presented, after the completion of Lutheran Catechesis, Catechumen and Catechist Editions a year ago, May, in the Dominican Republic. Out of that came an invitation to Buenos Aires to teach at the seminary there, where pastors and catechists from around the region, not just Argentina, came together for 35 hours of intensive instruction. It was a blast, even though I don't speak any Spanish. I mean, uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, seis. Okay, but I don't speak Spanish. So, and it wasn't simultaneous translation going on. So to me, it's a lot of fun to teach and stop and let the translator translate and then continue the thought and then let them translate. And as you both have, I think, recognized, I'm sort of an animated person. and so to see their eyes watch me, even though many of them didn't understand what I was saying, then hear the translation, they were able to follow along and to have that length of a period of time and not be bored or disinterested. So, and we talked a lot about, since we're helping to train catechists and lay catechists, what their priorities should be and how they should engage with children at their various levels. And so they saw me on the floor cross-legged with a little boy who was tucked between the pews and asking him questions and talking with him. And they saw me, you know, crawl out behind the lectern, looking like the sin personified in Genesis 4 that was seeking to overcome Cain. These kinds of things Luther talks about in the Large Catechism. He talks about playful methods. And if I ever get enough time, I want to write a major essay on Jesus, the catechist, and point out some things. It's not just content, but it's his methodology. And it's part of what I mentioned in my definition of catechesis, that it's God's way of teaching. And you see God's way of teaching in how Jesus engages individuals, but then also groups. And you can see in Jesus' engagement, his goal is faith in Christ. It's not a body of knowledge, a quantity of knowledge.
I have many more questions, but we probably need to wrap up for time. But what is next for Concordia Catechetical Academy?
Well, I spent the part of August in Bulgaria and Romania, and I was leading the Eurasia Missionary Family Retreat, and Dr. David Preuss, who's the regional director there, is very, very enthused about translating Lutheran catechesis into a whole host of languages from the countries that we serve and partner with in the Eurasia region. I mean, I have to tell you, it blows me away that Lutheran catechesis is being used in the confessional Lutheran mission start in Tel Aviv, Israel. Mm. It's been translated, parts of it, for use in Sweden. So more of that translation work is on the table, and then we'll commend that all to the Lord for his blessing.
Pastor, how can we follow what's going on with Concordia Catechetical Academy?
You can go to lutherancatechesis.org, to our website there, and then you can learn more about us, as well as have access to the full store of materials. We provide as much as possible, and if people are interested in this, they certainly can contribute to the CCA mission fund. We will send, for example, full sets of materials to all incoming students at the seminary in Nigeria. We need to pay for the cost of those materials, their production. There's no profit made on them. So it's the production of those materials and then the shipping of those materials. So the way people can help if they're interested. And there's opportunity for giving online that way.
LutheranCatechesis.org is the website. Our guest today, the Reverend Dr. Peter Bender, Senior Pastor of Peace Lutheran Church and Academy in Sussex, Wisconsin, and President of Concordia Catechetical Academy. Pastor Bender, thank you so much for being our guest on the Coffee Hour today.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.